Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I will be your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar, back from a week beachside, is the man who finally found Huey Lewis and the News, their new drug, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I won't say what that is.
I was about to say, Travis, who's the new guy up at the bar? I don't even know this guy. He looks so unfamiliar.
It's me. It's Freddie B.
Fellas,
for some soccer tonight.
It is great to have everybody back in the downstairs pub studios. It's great to be here. You guys doing okay tonight?
Doing great. Tuna's got his USA shirt on. I'm pumped.
Yeah, USA Rugby Union. But anyway, go USA.
As always, we are very happy to be here tonight. We thank you all for listening. We want to, as we always do, invite you to follow us on all manners of social media. On Twitter, we are at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. And that really gets the business out of the way. And right away, first of all, I'd like to say welcome back, Fred. It's good to have you back down here.
Great to be back, guys. That was kind of a quick whim. Someone called me, had some spots, and thought we could accommodate, and we did. So,
are you, in fact, running for mayor of Perdido Key?
No, I'm not, but I did run into some of the chair dudes that work the chairs down there, and they're like, hey, look who's back. So it was a good time.
I do think it was really cool that you used your one phone call from the Perdido jail cell to call into the Blockout Sport Podcast. So we appreciate you doing that.
They got a great-looking drunk tank down there. It's very nice.
We have a lot to get to this week. First of all, I wanted to go back to something that happened after we had already recorded the episode last week, and that is the Open Championship, or as we call it here in the United States, the British Open.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think last week we did our best to refer to it and respect our friends across the pond as the British Open after some of their actions towards Brian Harman. It's going to be the British Open from here on out.
Now, let me ask you this, Tuna. And, I mean, I was happy for Harman to
Absolutely.
Win.
Absolutely. Awesome guy.
But did you at any point not get tired of his 15 waggles as he set up to hit the golf ball.
Okay, I actually listened to an interview with him today. It was very frustrating, just like we talked about any slow player. He goes back and says he, if you go back and look at him in college as an amateur and even early on in the pro, he was one of the fastest players in the sport. And then he found himself waiting on the other guys so much that he started twiddling his thumbs and getting like anxiety and ready to go, trying to rush himself. And after a long conversation with Rory McIlroy, who we can blame for this now, who
I'll never blame Rory for anything, Tuna.
He is blameless
in this.
He told him to slow it down. He said, slow down and you'll play better golf. Well, Harmon took that to heart and super slowed it down.
I mean, because of the weather, you know, the rain and everything, I don't think that many people... it didn't bother me as much because it was pouring the rain. It's at least on the final day, you know. I don't think it was blown up as much.
And it just gets to me after a time because every single... And obviously, they're going to show him as the huge leader that he was on... And all credit to him. And I'm, like I said, I'm tickled for him that he won. And I like him a lot. Yeah, he seems like a super cool dude. Freddie really relates to him.
Don't
as a
pick on 5'7 lefty.
As a short lefty.
5'7 lefty.
Wait a minute. I'm listed at 5'8, by the way.
That means he's 5'5 and a half. Yeah. But I did find it at a certain point. I just wanted him to hit the damn ball.
You know what I wanted?
Do you think it was
because
he had such a big lead?
Probably.
Hey, yeah. You know what I wanted? I wanted someone else to do something.
Yeah. Well, starting his round, I mean, when he lost a couple of shots, and the same thing he did on Saturday, when he lost a couple of shots early, and you thought, well, this is where he's going to get shaky. He's never been here before. Somebody else is going to make a run. Rom, you know, had that incredible round. Was that on Saturday that Rom had the big round?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, by God, he would just settle the ship. He'd make a couple of birdies, and then when he hit the
birdies,
and then when he hit the, you know, the 50-footer on 11 or whatever that was, I mean, that pretty much made it.
That was money. Making putts in that weather.
Nobody was going to catch him at that point.
I know
point.
Chicks dig the long ball, man, but, like, he doesn't have the long ball in his arsenal, and it was nice seeing a guy just be surgical on the course.
Right.
I thought that
right.
was the best part about it. And having a guy like that win that was huge.
And, you know, how many top 10 he's had? What has he had the most top 10 since 2018?
Yeah,
or
his career earnings
something?
Are insane. Like,
dude, I mean, you knew if he got into contention, and he was. Moving up, I've kept an eye on him a lot. I keep an eye on a lot of the lefties anyways. And, you know, he's usually when we do our draw for our picks, when we do on majors, I'm usually looking at him sometimes. I never have taken him, but I've always looked to scoop him up. He's always there, man. He's solid. So when he gets it, when he got in that spot, I was not worried that he would falter. I really wasn't.
A quote he had today, which I thought was hilarious. He was talking about all the trash that the fans were talking to him as he's walking up and down, you know, the path and everything. And they were yelling at him, calling him American trash and all this stuff. They were awful to him.
They were.
And he
at
just
least
laughed.
Early on.
He just laughed and was like, look, man, I'm a SEC fan. I'm a SEC football fan. I got thick skin. He's like, I've heard way worse.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I thought that was cool.
Well, I heard him say that after he made an early bogey on Sunday, that somebody in the crowd said, Harmon, you don't have the stones for this.
Yes,
right.
And he said that immediately kind of snapped him. He was like, kind of snapped him awake. And he said, well, I'm pretty sure I'm good enough to win this thing. And he actually thanked whoever said that to him in the presser, which
that.
Was kind of cool.
Well, good. I'm telling you, the other players just could not, you know, here again, another major, another blowout in a sense. I mean, this was a huge blowout, but You know, we just never got that major where you had a cool 3-4 man playoff, things of that nature. It just seemed like the guys that were leading at on Sunday were going to take it to the bank, and that's how they were, you know.
And I think even though it was raining on Sunday, the wind wasn't as much of a factor as it could be at the British Open. But when somebody has that kind of a lead, and it almost, to your point, Tuna, it almost helps Harmon in those situations that he doesn't hit the ball super far. Because a lot of times, the bunkers that were in play for a lot of the other guys off the tee box, he could just go ahead and hit it as hard as he wants to, and he's not going to reach those bunkers. And that's obviously in the British Open, that's where you get into trouble, is dropping the ball into one of those bunkers you have to hit out backwards or sideways or something like that. And so, like I said, all respect to Brian Harmon. I'm super happy that he won the tournament. I don't believe in your Rory slander.
And what right out of the champ's mouth, man.
And what do you take away from Brian Harmon? He had I noticed towards the end he had a chaw in, and he claims he's just a good old redneck and likes to hunt. And I love that he said, I don't hunt with a gun or a rifle. I hunt with a bow. And he said, I shoot at 80, but I kill from 40.
And he pounded a bunch of beer out of the claret jug.
That's right. So, he even said that he was going to pound, what was it?
Well, it was some Guinness. It was some Guinness beer, but I kind of wish it was like a good old Coors or something.
And what about Bob Tway's brother was his caddy? you know, I'm sure that big old dude can put some beers down. So good for those guys.
Any other thoughts on the Open Championship?
The British Open, no. No. That wraps it up for me.
I hope JT gets his game together.
Oh, well, gosh. Now, that is one thing, and I actually had written that down in my notes that I meant to, I wanted to discuss briefly, because anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis realizes that we are located in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Downstairs Pub is actually catty corner, about a quarter of a mile from the high school that Justin Thomas attended. So we do have...
We're big JT fans.
We do have an interest in how he plays, and man alive, he, and to his credit, totally says, man, I'm struggling, I'm trying to find my game, but... You know, with the Ryder Cup coming up, and with as good as he's been in the Ryder Cup and as good as he's been for the American side in whether President's Cup, Ryder Cup, whatever it is, I don't really see a way that he makes the team the way that he's playing right now.
He's actually playing in that 3M this weekend.
Yeah,
he has to.
Yeah. He has to play in it. But, yeah, I think the top people in that is like Matsuyama, him, and
Finau.
And Finau, and that's it. Like, I know no one else. Not even your boy JT Poston's in it.
The postman.
But I think he'll get on track. No one wears his heart on his sleeve more than JT. We all love him. He always gives props in the social media to players that win their tournaments.
And I love the fact. I love the fact
that
it's good
karma.
Even when he's not playing well in these majors, he's basically live tweeting. Like, he will watch it, and he says, "They say, well, why would you want to watch that when you're not there? You know, you played in it and you didn't make the cut." He said, "I'm a golf fan. I love the sport. Why wouldn't I watch?"
Right.
And a lot of these guys are his friends, you know, people that he's... Yeah. And so he has some insightful things to say. And from all of us at the Blockout Sports Pod, get your act together, JT. We want to see you playing well, and I would love to see him on the Ryder Cup team somehow.
Start drinking some Pabst Blue Ribbon. Eat a big old fat ribeye, bone in, tomahawk, and what's the other thing? He switched to vegetarian. He doesn't drink. I can't think of what the third one was.
Well, that's clearly what screwed his game up.
I've got a theory. He spent a lot of time during March Madness hanging out with Nick Saban. Maybe.
I saw him at the hockey
maybe
playoffs.
The Godfather got in his head a little and messed
something.
Him up.
That guy's doing nothing but helping him. Hopefully he didn't get in Nick Saban's head. We got football coming up.
Yeah, we can get to that some other time, Fred.
Okay. Drink.
Quickly, if you listened to the entirety of last week's show, when Fred called in from the beach, in all the excitement, he had forgotten to talk about the horse races that were coming up with some really big, it was a big race, with a lot of, horses that you've heard been talked about on this show. And, if you looked on Facebook and Twitter, I posted.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Fred's thoughts and his picks on those races. And quickly, Fred, I wanted to get your thoughts. Wanted to find out how those races went, how your picks went, and then if there's anything else coming up from a horse racing standpoint, just quickly talk about that.
Right, right. Well, the Haskell went off with some quality horses. I can't believe I forgot to throw that out there on the balcony. Because I had looked at the horses already, I looked into who I was going to take her. And guess what, folks? I'm done betting. I am no good.
Liar.
I am since I cashed in on Mage, I have not done diddly squat. Everybody on here that listens knows that. Even Tuna beat me with National Treasure and
even
other,
Tuna
betting is so much horse. Easier if you just pick the winners, dude. Like, that's all you got
to
do.
But dude, I really, you know, and I do, everyone knows that I do try to beat the chalk, or sometimes take chalk to beat the chalk, or just try to get the best money bet that you can get. I did know obviously that Go Rocket Ride was a horse that I would have for sure bet on if had he been in the Derby. And he wasn't, and I knew he'd be great money in the Derby. I thought he had a long layoff, a real long one. I wasn't sure, but I knew that some of these horses would be in the running. Arabian Lion with Baffert all over him. He's a front runner. I knew that he would be out there. But, dude, the numbers on that first on the around the first turn were so sick. I knew that Mage had a shot, and I put my money on, you know, I put my money on Mage and Tap It Trice, who I will never put money on again moving forward. But Go Rocket Ride ran a great race. Mage was bellied up to him around the turn. He had his chance to win, and he was beaten. Now, here's the thing in the Haskell, guys, and I want to get Tuna and Travis's input on this. A lot of people are saying that a lot of trainers were using that as a prep for not only not for the Jim Dandy. The Jim Dandy's coming up Saturday. That's a prep, and they're using these races for preps for the next couple races coming down the line, and maybe even Breeders' Cup, but which that's kind of far away. But and so if you had a horse that's trucking and he's on the stretch, I think they felt Mage did just fine to do what he needed to do, and they didn't push him. You've got to watch out for the things like that, because now you've got the Jim Dandy coming up Saturday.
To the rescue.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, some of these, I do believe that could come into play. So if you have a closer, you're good. If you have a front runner that someone runs crazy numbers on, they're not going to push that horse to try to get that win. They're happy with these horses have already made their money. Now it's just trying to get into the Breeders' Cup and get your Horse of the Year honors.
So you're just saying that...
I'm saying maybe they didn't push Mage as hard right
now.
So there.
Horses are doing right. Load management now?
Maybe, yes. Trainers are, yes. And dude, I read about that after the fact, and I'm like, you got to be... God dang, you know. But we do have the Jim Dandy coming up, and a lot of them are prepping for the Travers. So the Travers Stakes is what we're looking at next, except for Saturday. And that's what some of these horses were just getting ready for, and they were considering it like a prep. What do you all think about that? I mean, you just said load management. I mean, do you think some of these trainers are doing that? Like, when they're trying to run big in the Travers, which is a little bit bigger than the Haskell?
Travis?
Well, I honestly had never heard anything like that. I had not even considered it. But as you talked about it, it completely makes sense to me.
I mean, yeah. Like, you come in first, second, and third, and you're good. Fourth, you're not going to push it. So talking about that, let's look at the Jim Dandy. We've got five horses running in the Jim Dandy. And let me tell you something. They're all dandies. You have Forte, who still, in my opinion, is the number one horse in the world right now for his age group. I have you've got Angel of Empire, who's been up in the money too. They've all been in the money. They just haven't won since their Derby preps. Disarm, who has won. The Matt Wynn in the slop. Don't forget, he won in the slop. And then you've got my favorite horse that I love, the Little Gritty Hit Show, who has yet to win since his preps. But they've all been up there front. Now, Brad Cox just put in a rabbit for Angel of Empire, Saudi Crown. So he's now in. So we're a mile and an eighth at Saratoga, Jim Dandy, who do you guys like?
Tuna.
No one's gonna get. No one's gonna get in the way. And by the way, I want to say real quick, speaking before Tuna talks, because he was a Tappet Trice horse. Sorry, guys.
I'm not a horse.
That horse ran like a pig. He Tappet Trice doesn't have it. So that's the end of him.
He's just resting before he wins the Breeders' Cup.
No, he wasn't.
Said it.
That horse wasn't even close.
I'm not here to horse shame. I'm just going to talk well about the horses that are running good.
Tell me who you like.
Well, obviously a huge Forte guy. I say that because I have no idea why I say that. I just like Forte.
Okay, that's what I like to say, because Tuna normally wins these races. I'm not kidding. He's been doing better than I have. So
yeah, don't put money on Forte, because I said I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I don't either. I mean, it's just a pick, dude. I think Forte is probably going to win, but I am going to go again with value and see if Little Gritty Hit Show can do that win, can take that win. I don't see Angel of Empire winning again. He hasn't won yet. He's had a jockey hold off on him. He's had him take him out early. It's never worked. There's only five horses.
They're all on load management this weekend. No. And for the rabbit, Saudi Crown will come in and win.
Okay. Well, is that your pick?
I don't know.
nevertheless, there's not much to talk about. There's only five horses. I don't want to waste all of our time on dirt bikes, but it is a good race.
Bet the super high five.
I'm going with Hit Show, folks, and join me. See what happens. And that's all I got, guys, unless y'all got something on that.
I don't. Go, baby, go.
Now,
I think the best horse in the crop might be Two Fills, and he's retired. That's how the crop of these horses have been since the Derby.
Now, we go from one what would be considered a niche sport from a lot of people. I wanted to talk some boxing tonight.
Yeah, baby.
Something that we have not done maybe at all on the podcast.
We don't have Larry Merchant coming in.
But
God, I love Larry Merchant. I could listen to that guy talk for hours.
But we have a huge
boxing
match.
You got some Larry Merchant in you.
Yeah, Larry Merchant.
You are a lot like Larry Merchant.
Let me tell you something, Jenna.
He gets one extra drink in him, and you never know what's going to come out of his mouth, just like Larry Merchant.
Folks, I don't drink during the week, so I don't know what these guys are talking about.
Yeah, neither did Larry Merchant.
But,
so
dude,
we
yes,
have,
talk
we have,
about it, Travis.
We have a huge fight coming up Saturday night in Las Vegas. Before we even prep...
Super fight of the century.
Before we even get into the actual nuts and bolts of this fight, I kind of wanted to touch on the fact that, I mean, this is almost in any other era would have been one of the most talked about sporting events going. And I feel like, and Fred had actually sent something on our podcast text thread, like how many people really even know that this fight is happening this weekend, and why is that? And my question to you guys is, why is that?
All right, I've got a theory on this. I think boxing, you're getting less and less people in it, and there's a drop in talent level. Obviously, each weight class has its own, you know, elite guys, but there's only about two or three in each weight class, in my opinion. So, and then you have a major drop off after that. I think a lot of guys that would get into boxing at a young age are now getting into mixed martial arts. And that is taking up a lot.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's an opinion. But it's taken a lot. I mean, I agree. There's some people.
Why do they want their ears all mangled?
Well, I mean, boxing has its flaws too. Like, if any combat sport, you're going to have issues.
Well, no,
so.
You're right. Someone has bitten an ear in boxing, so.
And he's actually made a lot of money selling gummies in the shape of ears off from that. But, no, I just feel like there's a drop-off in people entering into boxing at a young age, and that's creating a talent gap.
You're right. And, that's a good point.
And, I mean, obviously, I mean, it seems like in the day of social media and the 24-hour news cycle, and maybe I was living in a bubble in the 80s, but I felt like everybody in the United States knew who Sugar Ray Leonard was, knew who Marvin Hagler was, mm-hmm. knew who Tommy Hitman Hearns was. Even later on than that, you know,
Oscar De La Hoya, Shane Mosley,
Felix Trinidad.
You know, yeah, I mean, the list
Sweet
goes
Pete
on
Whitaker
and on. Yeah,
and those guys.
Parnell, it was, I mean, there was tons of great ones. So,
how many people?
Roy Williams Jr. I mean, geez.
How many people that aren't like attuned to boxing know Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Crawford? I'm going to say not very many.
Yeah, I mean, in some of the fights these guys have been on ESPN Friday night at 9 o'clock
and
for
Fox,
free.
Fox on Saturday night.
Yes, and we have seen. I have never seen Errol Spence Jr. fight. But I have seen Terrence Crawford fight. Mm-hmm. Let's tell everybody what the record is real quick as we talk about this. Terrence Crawford is 39-0. This is over like an 11-year span, guys. 30 KOs, 30 knockouts. Errol Spence Jr., 28-0 with 22 KOs. Crawford is a dazzling wizard a la Sugar Ray Leonard. Footwork, left, right, he's got it all. And Errol Spence Jr. is the southpaw, big dog that chases him around the ring. It has the setup for, I mean, Terrence Crawford has, there's four belts that they're fighting for in this boxing match, dude, that have went on for a long time. I know it's welterweights, but that seems to be the best boxing throughout the last, what, 10 years is the welterweights.
Well, I mean, there's
147
some,
pounds.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some good fighters in other ways, like Gilardi Golovkin, you know, Triple G.
Right.
There's some,
right.
You know,
no, Triple
I mean,
G, I,
yeah.
I gotcha.
There's been some good fights. I think, like what I was saying earlier, you don't get, like back in the day, like, you know, 20 years ago, you would have, like, Tyson versus Evander Holyfield, Evander Holyfield versus Riddick Bowe, Riddick Bowe versus Tyson.
Right.
You would see these guys fight multiple guys up at the top, what you would consider that top tier.
True.
Here you don't have that. Here you've got the long haul fight, fighting inferior talent before you get up to these big fights.
True.
Right.
Yeah. And they're working their way up.
And
so.
They are. And I think a lot of it has to do with pay-per-view. I don't think people are as willing to pay for pay-per-view anymore. And boxing's done a great job with putting these fights on for free,
yeah,
on Fox Prime Times and ESPN Prime Times. And that's going to start helping it grow if they continue to do that. But, like, you're not going to pay a pay-per-view for – like, I mean, look at this last fight with Errol Spence and Ordeus Ugas. It was, you know, that was a free Fox fight, I believe. And
guess what? I told you I haven't seen Spence fight, and I love watching boxing. I didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
I just didn't know.
Well, that's another issue is I love boxing, and I know Fred does, and I know Tuna does. But the times that I've seen these guys fight was by accident. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because I heard it being promoted on television. It was, oh, I wonder what's on television tonight. And I look, oh, there's a good boxing card on ESPN. There's a good boxing card on Fox. I'm going to watch that. And how many times, Fred, have I texted you and said, flip over to Fox right now. There's some good boxing coming on.
It is good. And everybody gets into it. Like, we'll be sitting around hanging out. And everyone's like, dude, throw it on. I mean, who can't get in to watch a good boxing match?
And they,
you know what I'm saying? It's not like, nah, turn the channel on whatever.
Yeah, and I think the long gap between fights is something also that people tend to, like, they could watch somebody one night.
That's right.
And then the next time that person fights, they're like, I may have seen this guy
you
fight.
You almost have to, like, go back in your memory. Because it's not, you know, there it's not on ESPN every day or on, you know, whatever social media you look at for sports. There's no, like, daily updates
but
on boxing.
But you used to see Stephen A. Smith and what's his name?
Max Kellerman.
Max
came
Kellerman.
Up in boxing.
They used to talk about that when there was a big fight. They would have him on SportsCenter, and then that would get your attention going, hey, there's a big fight coming up this week.
Kellerman.
Well, the problem with that is now is you're going to have guys like, If the fight's on Fox, you're not going to see guys on ESPN
talking about
what's going to happen on Fox.
That's
what it is. But you look at Terrence Crawford's last fight, it was December 10th. Like,
True.
That's a long time,
man.
Yeah. So, what was you going to say about Max Kellerman, Trey? I'm sorry I cut you off.
Well, no, that's fine. I was just going to say that for those of us of a certain age, way before we knew Max Kellerman, even as the original host of Around the Horn, I knew Max Kellerman as kind of like, I would think of him as like, I'm having a brain freeze. Jim Lampley. He was like Jim Lampley's understudy almost. Yeah. Like he was the next up and coming, and he was all. I mean, and he really did. I still think he's great. But I loved him as a boxing commentator.
He was podcasting before podcasting.
Right.
He'd sit in his basement and just record himself talk about boxing.
Right. Yes.
And he grew a following from that.
The sports center passed. He's kind of in charge of that now, of the boxing setup. The guy with the black hair that used to be a anchor on SportsCenter.
Scott Van Pelt.
No, this guy, Travis, you know him. He did, which we will talk about later on, the Hall of Fame. He was the MC for the Hall of Fame ceremony in Cooperstown this past week. And he is kind of the real tall guy with black hair, the boxing guru guy.
Well, I actually think that Kellerman doesn't work for ESPN anymore.
He was one of the most recent casualties from the cuts.
But nevertheless, this is a fight at Showtime pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's that expensive from what I thought someone said it was like $60 or
yeah,
something.
I think it's like $50 for regular definition, which I always find hilarious. Like, who pays for the regular definition?
Regular
but there's definition. Somebody out there that does it because they still offer it. And then $60 for, which I still think that's pretty expensive.
Dude, well, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to, normally you've got a few guys with you. It's like, here, I'll Venmo.
People
you.
Paid $99 for that Conor McGregor nonsense.
What Conor McGregor nonsense?
When he fought
people
Mayweather.
That paid for that were stupid. And there, it's going to be the same thing for Tyson Fury when he fights Francis Ngannou. That's the transition guys from MMA to boxing, and when they try to get together and do it,
it doesn't work,
it's not,
right?
Like Floyd Mayweather, everybody after that was like, well, Conor McGregor showed that he's actually a legit boxer. The guy has skills. Floyd Mayweather went 50% against him.
Of course.
I mean, that would have been a 2-round fight if...
Yeah, I don't even think he trained.
Well, and like Fred said, typically, if you're getting one of those boxing matches, you're not just sitting in your house watching it by yourself.
Absolutely.
You've got 10 guys around and you're gambling on it. Everybody throw in $10.
Yeah, and nowadays you can just Venmo, and you're like, where people are like, well, just Venmo somebody and you're good. Like,
or you can get you an unlocked Fire Stick and stream it somehow.
Oh,
there's rumors that people do that somehow.
Wait a minute.
I got it.
That's allegedly.
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 I said there's rumors that people do that.
That is allegedly. We do not want to. We do not want to let people know that, like, no one that we know does that,
not
right,
at all.
Tuna?
I don't know anybody, but
no,
I said there's
not.
Rumors that people do that, and I'm not sure how they're doing it, but I'd like to meet one or two.
Well, the card starts Saturday at 8. Obviously, there's great fights leading up to it. I mean, that's part of the fun of it.
Sure it is.
And then I guess
there was a heavyweight bout that got pulled out today. God, I'm trying to think of the guy's name.
So that fight will go off at about, what, 10:30?
No, probably 11:30, yeah. Probably so. Well, I'm probably sooner now that the heavyweight bout got pulled out. So it could be about 10:30.
It is taking place in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena.
They should do it in the Sphere.
Yeah, wouldn't that be neat? But I am very much looking forward to it. I know I'm going to be watching it. I can't wait. Do you guys have a prediction? Have you looked into it?
Yeah, I'm going
enough
with,
to have a prediction.
I'm going with Errol Spence on this, and most of it is because of the recency of the fight. He's fought April 16th, and December is a long time off. And I know these guys are professionals, but Errol Spence is a bit of an up-and-comer here, and I like him to take this fight.
Okay, and he is a southpaw. Now, I am going to disagree with the Tuna. Even though Errol Spence is one badass dude who flipped his Ferrari in 2019 and was thrown from it because he didn't have his seatbelt on, lived... had his teeth all put back in, and is an extreme badass, okay? If that don't get your attention, I don't know what will. But I'm going with Terrence Crawford. I've seen him fight. He is a blast to watch. These guys are not going to do – they've already said that they are old school. They are not going to do – remember when Pacquiao and Mayweather – that big build-up fight, and they just stood there and like, da-da-da-da-da. They said this will not happen. And they've claimed it many times on some of their interviews. I'm going with Terrence Crawford on this one, the dazzling wizard.
Yeah, this is going to be a two or three fight sequence here. This isn't Big Ten theme music again.
I love it.
But yeah, they're going to rematch probably. They're going to if it's split, probably go third.
I heard that the normal rematch clause has actually been even shortened.
Okay.
For this, so that there is definitely going to be a second fight. I'm with you, Tuna. I like Spence. I like it to go to a decision. And
definitely decision. And that's the safest bet, I feel like, on the weekend.
I think Spence takes it in a decision.
And I like
it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. If you are a relapsed boxing fan, or maybe a boxing fan that didn't realize that this fight was going on this weekend, I would advise you to get together with some of your buddies, everybody chip in $5 or $10 and watch this fight, because I think it's going to be worth the money.
Hey, I got a question. What's going on tonight?
Right now, we've got the United States.
We're doing a podcast, Frederick.
We have the United States Women's World Cup team.
What? The Women's World Cup's going on?
Yeah, which we failed to talk about last week. That
That was a, where was Freddie?
That was a huge fail on my part.
Dude, it's wintertime over there.
but the United States women are getting ready to kick off tonight in a extremely important game.
Big game.
In
rematch.
In the group stage. I was doing some research earlier today, and I read a couple articles that said, arguably, this is the biggest group stage game that the United States has had in the last four World Cups.
Sorry, I had to take off my hat and put it on my heart for the national anthem.
Which we can't hear. We assume that that's what's happening here.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to make sure that Tuna was doing the same. there's been some talk about
Me into this. No, you guys talk about kickball.
Fred, tell me, give me a breakdown on this USA-Netherlands game tonight, which is a rematch.
A rematch of 2019
final.
World Cup final.
Yeah.
The U.S. won 1-0.
Right.
A lot of the same players. The Netherlands have Captain, the 17-year-old, my favorite player, and on the all-name team, De Donk. she is a baller, trust me. Number 10, you will see her. And then, of course, dude, the USA team, let me tell you something. If you haven't seen Sophia Smith play yet, number 11, you're missing something. You know that striker that the USA men never seem to have? Well, guess what? The women do have her, and she is legit. All those other old school chicks can sit on the bench. This is the real deal. You got Dennis Rodman's daughter playing.
Right, and let's not gloss over that. I mean, it's Dennis Rodman's daughter. Dennis Rodman, the bad boy. Dennis Rodman of the Bulls.
Yes.
Dennis Rodman of the wearing the wedding dress.
And
Dennis
he is
Rodman,
there,
the
wearing sweatpants.
United States North Korean liaison.
yeah, that's right.
But she is a fantastic player. This is a young team. Of course, there are some of the other ones trying to do the three or four peat. But man, I'm telling you, Sophia Smith is so fun to watch. Thompson is really good as well. I'm not sure what her number is. But the Dutch, a couple of them are easy on the eyes, if you will, as well. It is going to be a great match. I can't wait because they're in the same group. I think they'll both come out of that group.
Well, they're definitely both come out of the group, but it's a huge difference between winning the group and finishing
and
second.
And scoring goals.
Yeah, so.
You got to score goals.
If whoever wins this game tonight is probably going to win the group. And then, as Fred said, it might come down to a little bit of goal differential. But tonight, winning the game is a huge deal as far as going to the knockout stages and your path to the final.
Right. I've watched all the games, whether they're replayed or whatever. The games are normally on at what, Travis, during the week? 10 o'clock, midnight, and 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Sometimes they're spread out a little differently. The USA is 9 o'clock tonight. I think that's for all the children, girls and boys out there that follow this team to try to watch them play.
Well, they know that if they put it, I mean, I think the first game was at, what, 9:30 or 10, and they're trying to, and it worked, get the biggest television viewership they can get.
Right.
And it worked in the first game for sure.
And I just want to throw a couple teams out there real quick that are really good that people might want to keep an eye on when they're playing. Sweden is spectacular. Germany, England, Spain is fantastic. Canada won the Olympics and upset the USA. Obviously, the Netherlands. I tell you, a dark horse that's really fun to watch, Colombia. They have a Kakaido, an 18-year-old that's little Neymar, number 18. She's unreal.
Yeah, I watched them the other night. They were great.
Yeah. You have a 16-year-old that's playing for the Italians. That's Tuna's team.
Hold on, why?
Dragoni.
Why am I the Italians?
Well, you always like to drink red wine when the Italians play.
I thought you were the Italians.
You know, well, you
didn't you say you were Italian?
That was your World Cup
team. Or you're Spanish. You become a different nationality depending on whatever team you're pulling for.
I do that.
You picked Italy in the last World Cup.
You picked Italy in the last World Cup. You drank red wine over at my house.
Even though
that was the Euro Cup.
Oh,
I picked Venezuela. In the World Cup?
No, you picked...
you picked somebody that didn't make the tournament. I know that.
Is it? In South America, it's a... oh, my gosh. I can't believe we can't think of the country.
I don't know. They didn't make it.
Go back, Ecuador. It was...
go back in the archives, because there is an actual episode description where it says, did Tuna's World Cup pick actually make the tournament? Listen to find out, and the spoiler alert,
it wasn't Italy.
It did not.
It wasn't Italy. It was a South American
country.
It was
Peru.
Peru.
Oh, that's
Peruvian.
Right. The Peruvian kickball incident.
That's right.
That's right.
Tuna, have you heard of Sam Kerr?
Yes.
Sam Kerr.
Steve's brother.
Okay, Steve Kerr's sister.
Your sister. That's what. Well, we don't gender identify here.
She's probably the number one player in the world. She
oh, really?
Plays for the host team, Australia. Yes.
Oh.
She's got a little injury. She has missed.
Is Steve Kerr Australian?
No.
Oh, well.
He's from Arizona.
I'm so confused.
But, well, you should be. And you should be watching. Now, Captain for the Netherlands is only 17. She's playing right now as we speak.
For
the Netherlands.
Is she from Arizona?
No.
Okay.
But I just want to tell y'all, I've got a little money on the, I can't get good odds from the USA, but I hope that they win. But I did put a little money on Germany,
okay.
Spain, and Colombia, and the Netherlands. So, Travis, we know that the Tuna is 20-80, not going to watch this tournament.
What's 20-80?
Well, 20, you might turn it on if there's a hot chick playing, like the German, maybe.
Well, he has
22.
He has no choice but to watch it right now. It's surrounding us in the downstairs pub.
And he took his hat off for the national anthem, which is great. I'm telling you, let me explain something real quick, guys, and all jokes aside. The reason that the women's soccer is more fun to watch sometimes than the men, especially the greatest players in the world, is this. When you watch, what's the first thing people that don't watch normal soccer say when they're watching the men? They dive, they whine, they fall, they roll around, like little children and crying. And guess what? That does not happen with the women. The women are just as talented. And you know what? They're not. They are as skilled, but they just don't have the power that the guys have. Let's be real. So the beauty of watching them play is they're around the box and trying to score way easier than just sitting there watching a game that's 1-0. Like, dude, is da da da. There's way more action. It's way better action. It's still quality, but they don't dive and whine and cry all the time.
And don't think that these women's games are not physical.
Oh, buddy,
because they are physical.
I don't even think the refs blow the whistles. I've yet to see hardly any yellow cards or anything. Like, it's pretty amazing. But I will tell you this. When you start watching, they're more fun. They're not as – you can't say they're more fundamentally sound. Like a women's basketball, college basketball team might be over some men's teams. You know what I'm saying? But
kinda
I will,
like the TBT.
Yeah. Does that mean to be determined? To be determined?
What'd you call it, the Beer Gut League or something?
Yeah, the Beer Gut
Tournament.
What I'm getting at is that it is fun soccer to watch. All right, USA, let's get them through. That's enough on the women's soccer. Everybody get going. We got Messi playing in Miami. We got goals being scored by him. This is a great time in our country. Let's go and pull for the women that are young and ready to play.
What a awesome locker room speech.
And as we kind of mentioned the TBT.
What?
For those people that don't know what that is, there is a $1 million winner-take-all basketball tournament called the Basketball Tournament, or the TBT. And
cheers for creativity on the
Yeah, right.
By the way,
last night, there was a team. And for people that don't know what it is.
I don't know. What is it?
There are, just like the NCAA tournament, there are 64 teams. Most of them made up of former alumni of a particular college or of a particular region.
And the bracket looks like it's out of Karate Kid.
It does. And unlike the NCAA tournament, most of the guys that are playing actually know how to play basketball. They're old enough to not just be 18-year-olds bumping into each other indiscriminately outside the three-point line.
These guys play pro ball, like across, overseas in Europe,
yes.
Asia, wherever. Like,
yes.
Global
now,
pros.
Now, Fred doesn't...
They also drink beer on a nightly basis.
Which is different than college basketball.
No,
how?
I mean, I don't know. Well, that's metabolism.
Have you ever known anybody that played college basketball?
These TBT teams could beat any college team, and I will stand by that,
dude,
right now. They would crush them.
Dude, this Louisville team that's practiced probably 10 times would beat the national championship college team last year by 20.
Yeah, they would smoke UConn.
It's not even...
I would make that bet.
No, it's not even close. Like, I feel like you could take the top 20 teams in this TBT, and they would beat any college team hands down, and it wouldn't even be close.
Because they know how to play basketball.
And they are fully grown adults.
Yes.
Like, I mean.
Yes.
Like, so, past players like Bobby Brown?
Yes. It's his prerogative.
I gotcha.
I mean, Fred, for whatever reason, doesn't like it because, well, I don't know why he doesn't like it.
Because Alabama or Kentucky doesn't have a team in it, and he's upset about it.
Are you all aware that there is a four-time champion, and I know you are, Overseas Elite, and the first year they did it, they won $1 million. Did you know that the next three times they won it, it was $2 million? They won $2 million. Now, that's some pretty damn good chump change of spread around.
So you would watch it then?
No.
Okay.
But
Why do you hate it so much? Explain this to me.
I wanted to get to the root of
that. Well, the cool thing is to watch U of L play. Uh-huh. You know, like, oh yeah, Wayne Blackshear's back, or Peyton Siva's back playing ball. Da, da, da. But to watch the Auburn pickup team, I'm not interested in it. It's like,
well,
the Globetrotters playing the Washington Sounders.
But you'll watch like Santa Barbara University versus Pepperdine.
No, I don't watch
at
that much
midnight.
College basketball.
Or
I will watch the Bulls.
Alabama against the Citadel.
Yeah.
No, I don't watch that game.
Now I know that's a lie.
Did you watch Kentucky play in this global tournament up
in
Canada?
This tournament. How come Kentucky doesn't have a team?
Because they don't have players that are good enough.
Oh,
but,
okay. There's only 100 in the NBA.
Well, if you're in the NBA, you can't play. Other than that.
But I can think of another 100 that play overseas I was just wondering why they didn't get a team.
No, but.
Because they don't know each other and they don't like each other.
In all seriousness, it was an awesome environment. The game was at Freedom Hall. The Elam ending, if you don't know what that is.
That's very cool. I will get that. I keep going, Travis. That is cool.
You should check it out because it makes the end of the game super cool. Every game ends on a made basket. The environment last night was I just thought it was great. And shout out to the Louisville team, Coach Mark Lieberman.
Love him.
And everybody that has a part in that team. And I'm actually really considering going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I just love being back in Freedom Hall again. And
how many people did you hear last night when we were walking out going, man, it was just great to be back in this building? How many people did you hear say that?
So many. And there was a rumor, I didn't hear him say it, but apparently Josh Hurd, Louisville's athletic director, mentioned playing one game in Freedom Hall next year.
They should.
So, I mean, you know Bellarmine plays there every Saturday.
I'm with
Tuesday
you, but going there and watching, like, for instance, the fact that Kyle Couric played in that game, and he was the guy that closed the last game out there with that epic game he had against Syracuse. There's like a nostalgia factor there with
there
that.
There is.
With seeing Louisville play there. And everybody was wearing Louisville red, and it just had a feeling of like a, I don't know, man. And it's been forever since Louisville basketball fans could be happy about anything. Like, we've just been getting our nuts kicked in for like, what, 5 years now? I mean,
and there was there was a lot of guys I heard last night saying, this is all we want.
Yeah.
Just to come to a basketball game and have fun again.
Yeah.
And it certainly was fun.
People were saying, just please be good, Kenny. Just please be good, Kenny. And it was just like, there's this feeling like, this is a basketball crazed town. Like, we get a little piece of it, we're going to love it.
Oh, you're right.
Which
yeah.
is why we need an NBA team here more than anybody. Like, Vegas, I'm sure they're going to get it, and Seattle
yes,
deserves theirs, but NBA needs to be in this city.
Well,
this
that's
city
something,
would embrace the
believe
hell
me,
out
that
of the
we
NBA.
Need, well,
I think it would.
Look,
it
Travis
really
and
would.
I have been pushing with that with Ike forever, and that's something that we need to talk about on another day because I feel very strong about that too, Tuna, and we really should be a great subject while this tournament's going on.
I think
it'd be cool to have everybody in this city be on the same page.
But it'll be a half hour
base.
It'll be a half hour discussion.
Because we're so divided about everything. You got
That's
your Louisville fans,
right.
your Kentucky fans.
And you finally get them all together pulling
like
for the same team.
We can all pull for the same. Talk about an asshole group of people, buddy.
I know.
You put me next to Cat fans and we're cheering on the same side?
We're pulling,
game
pulling
on.
For the playing in the bucket, KFC, let's go.
I'm all for it.
I mean, we, Travis, how many times have we talked about it?
Many.
Numerous.
And
But there's a lot to throw in there.
I think we actually broached that subject on a very, very early edition of the Blockout Sports Pod.
There's a couple other people that live in this city that have done a lot to try to get that to happen.
And
one man comes to
Dan Issel.
Well, Dan Issel, but there's another guy that really, really pushed for that, and I cannot think of his
name.
Jonathan
Blue?
But I'm telling you, this was about 10 years ago. Oh, this guy really,
well, probably Jonathan
really
Blue.
Tried everything he could. He was like a Roy, he was kind of like a SEC, Roy, who's the guy that did that put the SEC together to make it the monster that it is. He's one of those guys.
Nobody cares.
They tried to get him to do this. And however, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys that you're having fun at Freedom Hall.
You're reading that off paper. You
I'll
are
be,
not
I'll
excited
be,
for
I'll
us.
I'll be there for the
that,
fair.
You wrote that down so I'll you would there. Like.
Not, no, I did not.
No, you were reading word for word
I
some
will,
scripted
I
message stuff.
I will be
to
there
us.
For the fair, and me and Freddie Farm Bureau are going to hang out.
You're going to go to Oak Ridge, boys.
But, Travis, what else we got?
All right. Last thing that I have in my notes is the this past weekend was the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we had a friend of ours actually that was privileged to have gone to the entire weekend, all the ceremonies, the pomp and circumstance, the parties.
Friends of the Crime Dog.
Yeah, as a member of kind of Fred McGriff's group or whatever. And Fred, I know you watched the entire ceremony and all the speeches, and you were texting me while it was going on.
It was awesome, man.
Yeah, just kind of tell me what you thought, and
well, our buddy
who
Jimmy,
you were impressed
our buddy
with.
Jimmy went with his brothers that live down in Tampa with where he's from and where he's from and where he ended his career for the Devil for Tampa Bay. But
he being Fred McGriff.
He being Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
Pronouns, pal.
The crime dog. 30 or more home runs for 10 years in a row, by the way. And his brother lives down there and with him and has brought him up here for the Kentucky Derby. I have been lucky enough to meet the crime dog, and let me explain something to you. There's no nicer down to earth guy that you'll ever meet in your life, except maybe Scott Rowland. And for them two to be together was so cool. All the Hall of Famers are behind him. We saw pictures he was sending us of Ricky Henderson and guys. And to see all those guys behind there, and when Fred McGriff comes out, they all stood up to shake his hand, which they said has never happened before. What's super cool about it is they're both of those guys are so humble and so chill. They were dedicated workers. I think, you know, the speeches, Tuna, that got to me, man, that were just, I mean, you're a baseballer more than I am. Do you ever watch the Hall of Fame and the speeches that happen? I watch the football, the NFL sometimes when people come through, but man, it looks like a first rate operation. Like you were treated like a king for a weekend. Have you ever, do you watch those?
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen quite a few of them.
There's no doubt, right, that the Baseball Hall of Fame is the highest level.
Cooperstown is the elite of the
right, I've been right. there. I've been there I think I was 10 years old when I went, and I still remember it.
By the way, the United States just went down 1-0.
Oh, okay. But dude, like for the crime dog to get on there and went through like and Scott Rowland that about his family, the speeches were great. I'm just one thing I remember when the crime dog was and my wife who I met when we were working at Burger King. I mean, dude, like,
yeah,
come on,
cool.
Man, like that is just stuff where these guys are freaking in the Hall of Fame now. And all these fans that show up wearing their Braves jerseys, those you want to talk about diehard fans.
Yeah.
Man, people that show up to that and go is just spectacular. And I just wanted to give a shout out because I have met the crime dog, and he's nothing but class. And it seemed like from what I heard from the heart of Jasper, Indiana, that that Scott Rowland also was a class guy, and that those two guys to go in together
was super cool.
Very cool. And I'm glad that I watched the whole ceremony. It was really neat.
Awesome. Tuna, you have anything to add to that?
No, I just I feel like what you talk about the real fans showing up and wearing the Braves jerseys and everything. I think the thing about being a sports fan is you appreciate it when the guys out there that you watched on a daily basis just
do
give
it the
everything,
right way,
give everything
by the way.
To the city, to the, you know, the culture of the town that they're a fan of, you know, everything. They embrace everything, and the fans recognize that, and that's why they show up to support for these award ceremonies.
Right.
And that's what makes those moments special, especially for the players. Like Fred McGriff's up there and he's seeing the Brave jerseys. That means more to him than
right.
anything.
Right. And sure. Dude, what's crazy about it is Fred McGriff decided to have his hat have nothing on it.
Right. Yeah.
Now that's amazing. And then the two guys, they played for other teams and they mentioned every team, the organization. They had nothing but respect for them and what they did for them. It was really cool. I thought it was and I thought they were great speeches too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I love seeing Ricky back in the background.
Yeah,
I mean, dude, Derek Jeter, they were all there. Like Ken Griffey Jr. sitting right next to. Let me ask you a question, Matt. Do you think did we already talk about this? But both players, I think we're definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't like having this discussion because, like, somebody's always going to have an argument why somebody shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
The reality is these guys were voted in, which to me, like,
right.
I honestly believe both of them deserve to be
well
there.
Well said, yeah, so. Because I think they did. I mean, you know, they were, especially in the playoffs, man, mm-hmm. Both of their numbers in postseason were fantastic. So,
and I'm also not a statistics junkie when it comes to the Hall of Fame. The stats are one part of it, but there's a lot more that goes into being a Hall of Fame player than just your statistics. So
that's very well said. And it was kind of cool to have to have someone that was inside the events, like telling us what was going on,
right.
and then we actually saw him on television,
yeah.
And so that was really cool. Shout out to Jimmy and to his whole family, and I'm glad they had a great time. And congrats to Fred McGriff and Scott Rowland and everybody that was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this weekend. With that being said, fellas, we have a little bit more time. I thought I'd throw it around the room.
I got things to say.
And actually, before we do that, and I know we're running a little short on time, maybe we'll go deeper into it next week, but I wanted to tell Tuna that I did at least halfway complete my homework assignment that he gave me last week, and I watched the first four episodes of Quarterback. I thought the show was incredibly well done. I didn't even realize that Peyton Manning was an executive producer. He comes on in the first episode and describes, you know, what the show's about and why he thinks that being a quarterback in the NFL is the hardest job in all sports. The show is amazing. It really kind of delineates and differentiates the personalities of the different guys that they are featuring, and I can't wait to watch the rest of it. We don't have enough time really to get into the whole thing tonight, but Tuna, I wanted to let you know that I did watch it, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't expect to talk about it and recap it this week because I knew that Frederick wouldn't do his homework.
Wait a minute. So
that was just basically a precursor. So we're going to talk about this probably the week before NFL kickoff when he fits it into a schedule. And then we can discuss then. So
Freddie watched about 45 minutes of it, and I fell asleep a little bit, but I was very intrigued, and it was having a lot of fun watching my Minnesota Vikings quarterback that I really thought nothing much of until I watched him. And Kirk Cousins, hey buddy, you got a little personality. You're fun to. I'm pulling for you, bud. I'm pulling for you so far. So here we go.
By God, he might win the Super Bowl this year if he hears Fred's pulling for him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Freddie, I'm going to go to you first. And,
you are?
Yep.
I'd rather you go to Tuna.
Okay. Tuna, go ahead.
I just want to – coming up on Tuesday, August 1st, is the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and there's a lot of stuff to keep an eye on. To explain to Reds fans, the trade deadline is when
What is that?
It's when teams either buy or sell talent. You guys usually look at it as liquidation day.
Yeah, it's a yard sale.
Yes. And there are rumors going around that Jonathan India is on the block right now for pitching, though, not just for young prospects, for an actual pitcher. So you guys are seller buyer type players this year, which is new territory. And
even though he set the tone for the lot for the dugout.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, as we predicted on the blockout several months ago, he would be the first one to go.
That's right.
So
the rumor of Ohtani coming to Cincinnati
is not going to happen.
No.
I would say Ohtani's a lot to keep an eye on. I think they actually just moved his start. So they obviously talks are being done, and if I was going to bet money on where he would end up, it's going to be the San Francisco Giants, which does not make me a happy camper. Other moves to keep an eye on, Cody Bellinger to
the Yankees.
Apparently the Yankees are really interested in Cody. I would love to see LA make a push to bring him back home.
Dude, he's on fire.
But I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
It's one of my boys.
And then Marcus Stroman talks have been going around. I guess he's the big hot pitcher right now. But we're going to, just like every MLB.
He plays for the Reds.
Yeah, just like every MLB trade deadline, we're going to get shocked by a lot of stuff before Tuesday. So it's something to keep an eye on.
Travis, he's that red hot pitcher for the Reds?
Abbott.
Yeah.
Abbott. A.K.A. Richie Cunningham. He totally looks like Ron Howard, and he is ready to go. On to you, Travis.
Well,
oh,
I'm.
You're up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I have a couple things?
I mean, you can throw it to me, but I finished the show, Fred.
Okay. Well, yeah.
No, wait a minute. Fred.
What is that?
Fred was gone for 1 week, and he forgot how the show formats. Travis.
I thought you were going to say, and Fred, do you have anything?
Travis.
He came back with a Dean Koontz novel in his hand.
Travis ends the show. So, Fred, we are going to throw it to you before I end the show.
Well, I got a phone call this week. It was a message left
Congrats.
To me. And it wasn't from Pig Cage or Storm Duck or Dude Person or Memorable Factor or Shata Shala or Fish McWilliams, any of the players that made the all-name team in college football. But I was told that I made the all-podcast name team, Freddie Benders. And I wanted to let y'all know, I'm not sure what I get, but Freddie Benders is part of the all-name team, the all-podcast name team. And I mean, if I get some money, I'll split it up with you guys or whatever I need to do.
You let me know what you end up getting.
And, I will. And I have a couple more things. But secondly, and I'm excited as hell about that. Like, I'm on the all-name team, Freddie Benders. Well, Tuna looks kind of angry there about that.
I just looked at your face, and that's just my natural reaction.
Tuna Kemp. I'm like, Tuna Kemp doesn't make the all-name team.
I'm in a league of
my own. Maybe next year. Maybe next year, you know. But I also wanted to say that this was started in October 11th of 2022. And this is a league that was formed called the TST. And this is from the founders of the TBT, as I did a little research. And it is called the Soccer Tournament. And
we talked about it last night.
Seven-on-seven. Mm-hmm. And it's $1 million. There's 20-minute halves. The Elam rule comes into play. 32 teams, blah, blah, blah. And I challenge Tuna, if I'm going to watch the basketball tournament, I guess he's going to have to watch the TST,
no,
the soccer tournament.
You don't
tournament.
Have to watch the basketball tournament.
No, I am.
No, you don't have to. I'm not forcing you to.
But I am, because Tuna.
Well, that's on your own choice.
Right. But I'm really excited that the TBT has taken soccer in under its wing. And that's very cool. I'm excited about that.
Are you going to watch the TLT?
What's that?
The lacrosse tournament?
No, I'm not.
I think we need to watch every tournament.
I did not know they had a lacrosse tournament.
The cornhole tournament's going on this weekend in Owensboro.
Oh, my God.
Got to watch it.
Well, when's the TRT, the rugby tournament?
That starts here in a couple months. World Cup of Rugby, which I'm not going to force
aside,
you to watch.
Tuna and I have had a little battle, people, because he decided he wasn't going to watch the Women's World Cup. So I have decided that I wouldn't watch the TBT. But I think that these guys have talked me into it enough that I am going to pick up Kansas as my team. That's who I'm going to put money on.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
And Jesus. We're going to watch the TBT.
Rock chalk.
Anyways, I had to throw that in there. And sadly, I want to throw one thing in.
Yes, please do.
At the end.
I wanted to get to this, Fred, because we found out last night or the day before that a very special friend of the show and a loyal listener who I know that he and his mother are every week listeners to the show. He's always giving us feedback. I understand that his mom is a big fan of the Tuna.
Big fan of the Tuna.
She has excellent taste.
That should make Tuna feel better.
I'm a big fan of her.
But I know that we heard some really sad news, and we wanted to talk about that.
That our good friend and a part of our family here at the Sports Podcast, UK Bill is what he goes by. His daughter passed away at the young age of 42, and our prayers are with him and his family going through this tough time, but we wanted to make sure we put that on the show, that he knows that we will do anything we can for the big guy, and so we will see him very soon. So I wanted to make sure we put that on there.
Yeah, I was really, really, really sorry to hear that. And like Fred said, all our best thoughts and wishes are with Bill and his family. With that being said, fellas, it was great to have you guys both back in studio tonight. Looking forward to the rest of the week. Really looking forward to the big TBT game tomorrow night at Freedom Hall. We want to thank everybody that listens each and every week. Follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. And for the big fella, the Tuna, Country Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.